Hey guys, good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, February 8th, 2022. My name is Justin Coffin. Joining me today will be Joe Danier behind the scenes here. We have plenty to talk about. We're not going to get into a whole lot of NFL stuff today. Here's why. Thursday's show will basically be a complete Super Bowl show, Super Bowl preview show. We're going to do a lot of stuff with previewing the game, talking about the prop bets. I got this whole thing with the halftime shows, whether you like them or not, that you might be interested in. So we will discuss all of that on Thursday. So not a ton of NFL today, but we will get into a lot of Cleveland Cavaliers stuff today. We were going to get into some news and notes around the sports world. And then at the end, this is a little bit NFL related, kind of goes along with the Hugh Jackson stuff that was going around. He accused the Browns of paying him to lose some games, or maybe being monetized to lose some games, and then later kind of retracted that statement. So Joe and I are going to kind of get into some conspiracy theories, not just in sports, but mostly in the outside world. We're not going to spend a whole lot of like getting in depth in each one, but we're going to talk about each one of some that interest us. So that's what we're going to do. But we will start with the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is a team that is absolutely on fire. On Friday, they beat the Hornets 102-101 with basically no time left on the clock. Our boy Kevin Love goes to the line, sinks two free throws, and wins the game. But they survived probably what was the worst call in NBA history. Now, I was watching this game for a while. The Cavs actually were up by about 12 or 13 points in the third quarter. You know, I go and I'm doing other things, so I'm not paying attention. Later on, I'm getting all these text messages and checking in on the game, and they're like, a bunch of my friends are like, I can't believe this call. I can't believe this call. So if you have not seen this call, happens, I believe the score was 90-80. The Cavs were up. The Hornets basically get a loose ball that was whistled dead 3 seconds after the whistle blows. I think one of their guards shoots the ball. But remember, the whistle had been blown 3 seconds before he shot the ball. Didn't even make the shot. And the Cavs bench, kind of was joking around, tapped him on the back, and he missed the three. The refs counted the basket. So they gave them the three and called a technical foul on the Cavaliers bench, which made that 10-point game then a 6-point game. And then the Hornets actually take the lead 101-100, and ended up losing it finally on the last play of the game with Kevin Love bailing us out. But it just an absolutely crazy, crazy game. Probably the worst call that I've ever seen in NBA history. The worst call in NFL history that I've ever seen happened against the New Orleans Saints a few years ago against the Rams, but this call was just as bad. And then on Sunday night, the Cavs took on the Indiana Pacers. They were getting blown out early. They were down by as much as 20 points early on in late in the first quarter, early in the second period, then come back to win that game. They start the third quarter on a 19-0 run. Jetty Osman, Kevin Love really were the main two cogs in that run, and just an absolutely great run to take the lead and win the game. That actually, excuse me, was the beginning of the fourth quarter. They were down by, I think they were down by 12, and then they ended up being, or they were down by 8, and they ended up being up by about as many as 11 points. So it was pretty awesome. Now, the Cavs have 4 more games this week before the All-Star break. They do not play tonight. They're off, but they do play Wednesday night versus San Antonio, Friday night at Indiana, Saturday at Philadelphia, and Tuesday, the 15th, against the Atlanta Hawks. Those are the upcoming games before the All-Star game, which the All-Star game, by the way, is in Cleveland. If you have not heard that yet, is in Cleveland. Cavs will be the host city this year. So pretty cool for them. Now, some other honors going around for the Cavs. You can't have a good team without a good coach. JB Bickerstaff was named the head coach of the month for the Cavaliers for the month of January. The Cavs went 11-4 overall, 6-1 at home, and just a great, great job, especially leading them right to the top of the Eastern Conference. Now, the Cavs did make a big, big trade on Sunday, right before they were playing the Indiana Pacers, and they actually traded for one of those Indiana Pacers players. Caris LeVert, they receive, and I love this trade, and here's why I love it, because they receive Caris LeVert, and they get an additional second-round pick. Now, they send out Ricky Rubio, who we all know Ricky Rubio tore his ACL earlier in the year, so that's a player that you weren't going to be using the rest of the season. Ricky Rubio, while he was on the team, had a great, great season, but unfortunately lose him. They do send out this year's 2022 first round pick, which if the Cavs keep playing the way they're playing, that pick's going to be in the mid to early 20s, if not higher. So so I think that's, you know, you're not losing much there. Any player that you're drafting at that 2022-23 position, you're not getting a better player than Caris LeVert. I'll tell you about what he is in a minute. You are sending Houston's second round pick, which will be high because Houston stinks this year. But, you know, that's not a huge, huge loss. And then a 2027 second round pick, which no one's even going to remember that pick, you know, by the time that comes around. So second round picks there, you know, there's been some good second round picks over the years, but you know, it's few and far between. So you're betting on this guy to come in to be a nice role player for you. And let's get to know this guy a little bit. So if you're familiar with the Cavs, but maybe unfamiliar with Caris LeVert, let me tell you a little bit about this guy. He is a 6'6" guard. He is from Columbus, Ohio. He's actually from, I believe, Pickerington, Ohio, a little bit outside of Columbus. He did play at the University of Michigan, which we all know is a basketball school. He averages this season about 19 points a game, about 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And him and Jared Allen were both involved in that James Harden trade last year. That was a huge headline. Obviously, James Harden was the big name in that trade, but Caris LeVert and Jared Allen are arguably the best two players that, you know, from that trade, the way James Harden has caused a lot of drama in Brooklyn and whatnot. So Caris LeVert should be an immediate impact player for the Cavs. You know, probably goes in your starting lineup, but you could bring him off the bench, be a nice scorer. Either way, he's going to get you a lot of, he's going to get you that 15 to 20 points that you need in that second unit, especially if Darius Garland, who has been banged up lately, is not in the lineup consistently. And maybe take a little bit of pressure off of him, because your bigs inside are doing great things. But, you know, Darius Garland's been out. You can see the Cavs struggle without that big-time scoring guard. So Caris LeVert will fill that role. And I think the Cavs are primed to make a few more moves. Keep an eye on the names Dennis Schroeder. And then, Joe, you remember the name Tristan Thompson?
Yeah, I do.
So he was actually just traded by the Sacramento Kings to the Indiana Pacers. Now, in the NBA, a lot of teams will – basically, you're not trading – four players, you're trading for contracts, and what they're going to probably do is buy Tristan Thompson out. And so if he becomes a free agent, the Cavs can sign him at a veteran minimum, bring him in, and you got a nice veteran backup presence at the center or power forward position. So keep an eye on that. We'll see what happens. Dennis Schroeder and Tristan Thompson are two names to look out for. Let's go to our big three. Darius Garland has been out the last few games, but still averaging close to 20 points, 3 rebounds, and 8 assists on the year. Jared Allen just having some monster games lately, averaging 16, 11, 2 assists, and 1.5 blocks. And then Evan Mobley, the best rookie this season, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and close to 2 blocks a game. So for the Cavs' big three, Some other big news, Darius Garland was named an All-Star, so he will represent the Cleveland Cavaliers in the All-Star game in his home city, which is really, really cool. And the Cavs will have a lot of All-Star representation that weekend in Cleveland. Now, unfortunately, Jared Allen, who has been playing huge game, you know, huge games for the Cavs lately, was a snub. Now he was, you know, on the reserve list. So if somebody else gets hurt, gets knocked out of the game, there's a good chance Jared Allen could replace them. But right now he's a snub. Friday night against Charlotte, 29 points, 22 rebounds, and then followed it up Sunday night with a 15 point, 17 rebound, two block game, which, you know, in the NBA and high level basketball, it is built for the guards. Jared Allen is a center. A lot of plays aren't run for him. He will get some oops and stuff like that, but he is doing a lot with no plays run for him, which is pretty, pretty incredible. Now, excuse me, and bear with my voice today. I've got the scratchy throat going on, but I feel fine. Two other Cavs, Isaac Okoro and Evan Mobley, were named to the Eastern Conference Rising Star. You know, so that game will be during the All-Star weekend. Also, Kevin Love, got to talk about him. Should be the sixth man of the year. The other night, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, just doing great, great things for the Cavaliers. And then let's talk a little bit about some of the unsung heroes, the role players. Now, the Cavs already picked up Rajon Rondo earlier this year. Had his first double-double with the Cavs. 15 points, 12 assists, 5 rebounds. Isaac Okoro, as I mentioned, great defender. Doing really nice things. Also, if he can develop that three-point shot, which is inconsistent at times, I think he can be a really, really great player. And then Jetty Osman, 19 points the other night in the fourth quarter, 22 total points, 5 assists on 4 three-pointers. There goes the voice, Joe.
You're right. You're going to make it?
There it goes. I'm going to make it. Duncan bailing me out here. Okay, so.
This segment brought to you by Duncan.
Yeah, and some cough drops maybe too. but here's our did you know for the day. Jetty Osman is the first Cavaliers player since April of 2018 to have 18 or more points in a quarter. So pretty cool there. And then I had to share this because this is obviously a parody, but I'm going to just read this verbatim. I can't give credit to anybody on Twitter because it was shared so many times, but I'm going to share it for in case you have not heard it. So, official statement from the Cleveland Cavaliers as a parody goes a little something like this. After that awful call in Charlotte, by the way, the officiating during last night's Cleveland Cavaliers and Charlotte Hornets game was one of the most insanely idiotic things we have ever seen. At no point in the officials' rambling, incoherent response as to why Charlotte was gifted a 3 where they were even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Every fan of the NBA is now dumber for having watched the game. The NBA would be best to fire every official involved in that game, and may God have mercy on their souls. So, too good not to share. And
as an ode to one of our favorite movies of all time.
God, love Billy Madison. So, so good. But if you have not seen that play, you got to go watch it. It's embarrassing as a fan, as you know, whatever. So, a little bit of sad news to pass along. The Cleveland Cavaliers' first head coach in their history, was Bill Fitch. Bill Fitch was, a long time, a lifer, basically, you might say, in the NBA. He coached the Celtics. He coached the Rockets. He coached all over the NBA. A great, great guy. And by all accounts, when he passed away in Houston, he would always check in on the Cavs, see how they were doing. And I just thought that was really, really cool for the Cavs and other teams to, you know, just share their sentiments about him. Now, I do want to share one story I heard about Bill Fitch. And this was from a former Cavaliers player. Bill Fitch, apparently the Cavs are just getting beat up at halftime. And anybody that's been a basketball coach has probably thought about doing this, but never done it. So apparently in the locker room, the Cavs are getting beat up by however many points at halftime. And then a player says they hear the toilet flush once, then twice, then three, then four, then five times. And Bill Fitch comes out and says, well, I just flushed my starting five. Give me a new group. So I just thought that was really, really a cool story and wanted to share that. But rest in peace, Bill Fitch, the Cleveland Cavaliers' first ever head coach. If you are watching this on the video podcast, the Cavs unveiled their court and the NBA unveiled their court. I think it's pretty cool. You know, kind of goes with the wine and gold. Has the 1997 that they held the All-Star game in. And then I think the other year was 1981 or somewhere around there. But pretty cool. The Cavs hosted the 50th anniversary, and now they will host the 75th, which hopefully again in 25 more years, they'll host the 100th. So really cool looking court there. Now, Joe, let's flip from the NBA and the Cavs.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about the new name for the Washington football team. Now, this kind of goes along with Cavaliers theme because, you know, still kind of a wine and burgundy look there, or a burgundy and gold look. So the Washington Commanders. Now, everyone in Cleveland knows the Cleveland Guardians are now the baseball team, you know, formerly the Cleveland Indians. What do you think of the former Washington Redskins, then former Washington football team? Now the Washington Commanders. Thoughts?
What's their mascot with the commander? Is it?
You know what? I don't know. All I've seen is the W.
Okay.
All I've seen is the W.
Some commanders that aren't so great. So
that's
true.
If
they pick a commander that's worthwhile to rally your team, then that's a different story. So okay. I'll wait and to see who their mascot is.
Now I put this out on from the 330 page, and I put it out on a bunch of different, you know, pages, and then the fan of Fast Freddy group.
Yes.
There was a lot of interesting takes on there. A lot of non-PC comments. We'll just put
you're
it
not
that way.
Share the
so
non-PC
I'm not. Way. I'm not gonna. You know, they said they should be called the Commies and, you know, stuff like that. Which, you know, Commanders, you're setting yourself up for different names. I don't really have a problem with it. I think it's fine. I think people get really attached to certain names and different nostalgia that goes along with a team. Now, like, I can understand the Redskins is probably about the most offensive type mascot you can have. So you probably did need to go away from that. The Indians, I have a problem with them changing the Indians name, but the Chief Wahoo, I totally get, because if you're Native American, you know, that's a, you know, could be a demoralizing look to, you know. I watched, what movie was it? The other day, Peter Pan. And before they played Peter Pan now, by the way, I was watching with my daughter who's three. I wasn't watching Peter Pan by myself, but, but anyway, we're watching Peter Pan. Before the movie even starts, there's like this little thing, like this,
disclaimer
right. Before the movie starts. Thank you. And it says, like, you know, in light of, you know, this movie was made in the 50s or whatever. Like, instead of changing it, we choose to represent the cultures and make you aware of this beforehand. So, but there's these Indians that they're literally as red as this box, and, you know, they're smoking the peace pipe and stuff like that. So I can see where that's very offensive, but the Indians as a name, I don't think is that bad. The Redskins as a name was probably pretty bad, but whatever you came up with, people were going to hate. I feel like we've had this conversation with the Indians, but I don't know. Overall thoughts on the Commanders / Redskins versus Guardians / Indians.
You know, I really don't care in a name. I think it's a level of stupidity that if I play in this, then I'm going to get sucked into more stupidity. And then the God have mercy on your soul thing will apply to me.
So. Fair. Okay. That's fair. I, it's one of those things. I just don't know. I don't think you're going to make everyone happy, and especially in the social media world right now, where everything's immediate, everything's reactionary. I don't think there's a way to win over. If you're winning half of your fan base over, I think that's great, because eventually those other people are going to jump on, and you're still. I think the Indians did a really cool thing when they did that video and Tom Hanks was narrating it. They said the most important thing about Cleveland baseball will still be that name Cleveland in the front. That will never change, you know? So to me, that's what it's all about. You're representing, you're rooting for that team in that city or that state or whatever your, you know, region they're representing. You're not necessarily rooting for the mascot or nickname. Make sense?
It does. And when it comes down to it, it's a business. And, you know, if a person running the business says that a new mascot or new branding or new color scheme will sell more tickets and put more guys on the field, then so be it.
Whatever. No doubt. Okay. That's fair. Came across this stat, you know, another football stat here. This was so interesting to me. This might be the coolest stat I've ever seen. Most receiving yards after turning 40 years old. Last week, you claimed I had a man crush on Tom Brady.
Yes.
Which, you know, I said the respect factor was there. But Jerry Rice leads every human being ever that's 40 years old or older with 2,169 receiving yards. Number two on that list, Tom Brady with six. Number three on that list is Brett Favre with negative two. So technically, let me ask this. Are you and I, can we be considered in third place ahead of Brett Favre? Is he technically below everyone else or in last place?
Yes, yes.
So Brett Favre actually has negative two receiving yards. I'm guessing that was on one of those where, you know, the ball gets batted in the air, he catches it and falls down. But I thought that was a great stat and wanted to share that. Real quick update I want to share about the Youngstown State women and men basketball teams. The Youngstown State Lady Penguins, 12-2 in conference, 18-3 overall. Very, very impressive as we head and near tournament time here coming up very, very soon. So not to be outdone in conference right now. And then YSU men are on a four-game winning streak right now, have a big homestand coming up. They are 14-10 overall and 8-6 in conference. So Coach Calhoun and the men hoping to make a push around tournament time. So wanted to give you one quick update too. All the NFL jobs are now filled. All nine, our friend Jim Harbaugh went back with his tail between his legs to Michigan. He has since lost his offensive and defensive coordinator. Offensive coordinator Josh Gattis is pissed. Left, took the same job, a lateral move. Some might say a step down. Took the offensive coordinator job with the University of Miami in Florida. And he's ruffled some feathers there in Michigan. So maybe it took Michigan beating Ohio State for that to completely break. You know, up there, they got a big head, Harbaugh especially, and we'll see what happens. It looks like a mess right now, but they are on a one-game winning streak, so I'll give them credit where credit's due. And then real quick, wanted to update you on the head coaching positions. All nine in the NFL have been filled. The Bears, Matt Eberflus, Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett, Giants, Brian Daboll, Raiders, Josh McDaniels, Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, Jaguars, Doug Peterson, former Super Bowl winning head coach of the Eagles, Dolphins, Mike McDaniel, the Texans, Lovie Smith, and Saints, Dennis Allen. Now, I'm bringing this up for a few reasons. One, because Brian Flores was fired in Miami. Mm-hmm. Then all these rumors started coming out. Brian Flores, for all intents and purposes, is a really good NFL coach and had a winning record with Miami in not necessarily a great situation. So Hugh Jackson jumps on board after the Brian Flores thing. Brian Flores claimed that he was being paid or incentivized $100,000 to tank or to lose. So Hugh Jackson on Twitter jumps on there and says, oh, well, let's, you know, basically, you know, I'm going to, not verbatim, but kind of paraphrase what he was saying, but he said, oh, the money in Cleveland was very good too. And somebody said, if Hugh Jackson was paid to lose in Cleveland, he would be on the Forbes list right now, you know? So Hugh Jackson later then in a SportsCenter interview kind of retracted that and said, well, I wasn't paid to lose, but I was incentivized. And so were the staff. And there's a lot of, things Hugh Jackson has said in the past that doesn't make you always feel like he's telling the truth or he's making excuses and whatnot. So this was, I kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with this. So what are your overall thoughts on that whole situation, whether it be the mess in Miami or the Hugh Jackson stuff?
So Hugh Jackson's been butthurt since he left.
Yes.
Like, so if he's going to, if any time the Cleveland Browns come up, he's going to take a swipe. He just knew it. Now, remember, during his tenure, they got real heavy in the stats, the money ball type of play. So all of us have considered towards the end of a season, if you're on the downside, you don't have any playoffs in your future, winning would work against you on the statistics sheet because you're going to get a worse draft pick. So I believe that towards the end of the season, they probably got nudged that, you know, put in the, you know, some other players and maybe not put the best scheme in there and maybe not get anybody injured and not tank necessarily, but not also try to win needlessly.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of what he was saying after the fact is like, well, they weren't giving me the best players to play with. Well, yeah, if you're trying to cut salaries, you're trying to make your roster a lot younger, you're going to release those older guys. For you're sure. going to trade a lot of your players for, like you said, draft capital.
Exactly.
And then, you know, it's not necessarily the best position to win. They showed him there was this 4-year plan and blah, blah, blah. But all in all, he went 1-31 in his first 2 years, and they still didn't fire him. They brought him back for year 3, and then, you know, they finally started to look like things were turning around, and then there was a mess with the coaching staff and whatnot. So that's when it finally hit the fan, and he was fired. And then the Browns started to do well. So,
that's two. Things.
I don't know.
I mean, towards the end of the season, take the foot off the gas pedal to get a better draft pick. And then what the Saints did with, you know, some targeting and some capitalizing on some injuries, you know, I wouldn't believe that stuff happened. And then there's such a benefit in making it happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it was more prevalent than what we know about.
Okay. So that got me thinking with like conspiracy theories, you know, there's always these conspiracy theories, the Rooney Rule in the NFL states something like you basically have to interview a black head coach because there's not enough black head coaches. The league is 70% African-American and one. And I believe now Lovie Smith is hired. So now 2 African-American head coaches in the NFL. So, you know, the Hugh Jackson thing, the Brian Flores thing got me going down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories. Yes. So I thought this would be fun, just a little off topic to go and talk about some of our favorite conspiracy theories. And now, Joe, like I showed you, I have this huge whole list. I don't want to spend a ton of time on each one, but I thought we could talk about certain ones and then maybe in like some future shows go down a rabbit hole on each certain one.
Before we do that, can I bring like up a sports, not real conspiracy, but I've always wondered, and especially like recently a commercial came out about, I think it was maybe Microsoft or IBM. They had sensors and they said making the game safer by taking the sensors and doing the speed and the whatever during games. Did you see that commercial?
I have not.
Okay. So anyway, I was thinking like, all right, if during every game they've got these sensors that are implanted in uniforms and helmets and sidelines and all over the field where they're collecting this immense amount of data about what's going on in the game for, you know, the player's speeds and the collisions and whatever. And I'm thinking, and they're still throwing yellow flags interpreted by a bunch of people who miss half the calls or jack it up, right? So if they have the technology that they could be accurate with every flag thrown and they're still doing it this version, what's that all about?
That's a good point. Interesting.
Well, we talked about it before, like on every play, there's probably a hold and every play, there's always a foul.
Yeah.
So if you let computers like really make the fouls happen, pretty much it would be nothing but flags.
So like AI officiating.
Yeah,
almost.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then you couldn't let Tom Brady. Never mind.
Yeah. The balls are going to be inflated fully and whatnot. So the biggest sports conspiracy theory I have, I think, And this isn't even on my list, but the NBA went to that draft lottery system. So kind of along the lines of tanking, they didn't want the worst team to just, you know, tank and tank and tank. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar actually ended up in Milwaukee because of a coin flip. They used to give the worst team in the East and the worst team in the West. They would flip a coin, whoever got whatever they called. By the way, it should always be tails. Tails. So Milwaukee won that coin flip, got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I don't know who the Western Conference team was, but you know, they got the next best player, not one of the best players in NBA history. So, but anyway, long story short, the NBA created a draft system and an envelope system and a ping pong ball system. So there has been a conspiracy floating around in the NBA about, and this is going back 35 years or so when Patrick Ewing was drafted. Now the New York Knicks got the first draft pick and Patrick Ewing was like the player, you know, like that year coming out. And there is this frozen envelope theory. So the commissioner would pull the envelope, but he could, like, you know, feel around for it, and he would pick, if he picked the cold one, he knew that was the New York Knicks. Mm. So that has been a floating conspiracy theory that I have heard. And it's one of those things, it's 35 years later, how can we prove it?
Right.
You know, so whether it's true or not, it's kind of a cool story. So
all sports are WWF wrestling. That's what they all are. They're all staged. They're all fake. I've watched, you ever see those NBA players flop? That's what it all is. Just okay. Flop, massive flop.
So Joe, yes. I'm gonna let you lead off.
Okay.
With this, tell me. I don't know. Maybe why don't you start off with? It doesn't have to be your most insane or craziest, but tell me your most interesting conspiracy theory out there, non-sports related, that interests you the most.
All right. So, I guess I go into like the flat earth. We're going to do a show on flat earth.
Okay.
That's my favorite one. It really is.
By the way, that ties right into the NBA with Kyrie Irving, who claimed it, the earth was flat.
We're all hanging out together, us, Kyrie Irving, and what was that musician guy?
Kanye West.
Kanye West. We're all flat earthing it. So, all right, wait, give me yours.
Oh, boy.
And you said not crazy for mine, and I went right into
I have a ton of them.
Okay.
So I'm like a big, you know, the universe is huge. It's unfathomably big. I think we are not alone out there somehow. Okay. Now, does that mean there's, you know, aliens visiting Earth or whatever? Not necessarily. But, you know, so I'm always interested in that. I'm going through my list and I'm trying to pick out the most interesting one here.
Did you see the Mars alien from the other day?
I did not.
Oh, I'm bringing it up on screen.
Okay.
I got to do this.
Okay. All right.
We need to show.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I will, I'll talk to you about, I guess one of the more interesting ones, that's in the news right now, was the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing of like, he was, he didn't really commit suicide. You know, someone had him killed. And one of the big things out there was he was knocked off by like the Clintons or somebody like that. All right. So what do you got here? Let me see.
Okay. So let me set this up. So the Mars rover is chilling out on Mars and it's sending back these caches of photographs that are coming in that are being analyzed by, you know, scientists.
Sure.
So I'm going to blow this one up pretty good so you can see it. And so a picture came in and it was evaluated by, I think it's geologists. They were looking at sort of like some rock formations. And so what I got on the screen here is it was interpreted as a Martian lying on his side and watching the Mars rover, being fascinated with the Mars rover and laying on his side with his head propped up. Now, what you see on the screen here is nice and pixelated.
Yeah,
but
of course.
You can kind of make out that it could be something, right?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you make of it? Is that your Mars alien, or is it a rock on another rock?
I think it's a shadow.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with the shadow. I don't know. You know, like recently, haven't they said there's been like water molecules where there could have been like microbial life or something like that out
there.
Well,
I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of buried water like really deep within the surface. And when Musk goes there, they're going to drill and try to excavate, not necessarily for the life, but they need water to start developing things on Mars.
So okay.
We'll see when they get to the water side.
That one's interesting. Yeah. Very, very cool. What's your thoughts on, since we're on the alien topic, Area 51, thoughts on that?
So I think it is basically an R&D facility for the government, which I think that they spread a lot of the information so that people get distracted with this isn't government technology, it's alien technology. And as long as people are thinking that, they don't pay attention to like whatever they're really doing there.
Now, okay, I got to share this because I heard this somewhere and they said, okay, since human life, you know, since intelligent human life has been around,
which not very long, well, maybe not even anymore.
Well, exactly. But let's say since humans were upright walking and all that stuff. So let's take that and make that a book and let's make that an 800-page book.
Okay.
If you take since the Industrial Revolution, that would be the last half of the page on 700 or on page 800.
Okay.
So the last half of the page.
Not very long.
So you basically, all things before that were pretty much boring. You know, you're working on fires, you're hunting, you're gathering, you're doing all that stuff. But since the dawn of technology, we have, look where we're at today. Look around the studio and what we're doing. You have phone lines, we have computer screens we're looking at. We have cell phones that are smarter than the space shuttle that, you know, landed on the moon, which by the way, did it. That's another conspiracy theory. So, so, you know, I guess my point is we came in to all this technology real fast. Mm-hmm. Is it something where this technology was like discovered and then we could just learned and then we build off it and build off it and build off it? Or was this technology somehow given or gifted to us and then that's how it came to come so fast? So what thoughts on that?
So I, you know, the last Matrix that explained the creation and the demise of humanity, right?
Okay.
And I wonder how many versions of what we've done here ended. Like we all go through the phases where we get to a certain point, invent all this technology that kills us, right? And then we go back to the beginning again and we recycle through that. So I think part of our demise is our creations end up killing us, and we've done it multiple times.
Interesting. Now, is that when you say Matrix, is that the whole, what is that called? The multiverse. But is that go along with it?
Probably not. I mean, I would say that it's more like humanity creates a filter so that it doesn't get a certain point. And that filter is that we create ourselves out of existence. Now, but we keep doing it.
Okay. Now you're.
But I do believe in multiverse, by the way.
Okay. So. Okay. Yeah. And that's something I got to wrap my head around a little bit more because I know there's layers and layers and layers to that. But since you're a Tesla guy, I want to ask you about Elon Musk and his theory. He says there is like a 0.5% chance that we are not
in a simulation.
Not in a simulation.
For sure. 100%.
So thoughts on that. So basically this is a giant computer game that other people are playing.
Yeah.
Us.
And crazily enough that I can see us going into another level of the simulation as we keep going forward. So we're going to put the VR on and we're going to experience life through the VR goggles. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be so immersive that we're not going to come out of it. And then we'll be in a simulation that's also in a simulation. So oh my how God. Many simulations deep
so,
are we?
So is that like when you're looking at a mirror
yes.
and there's a mirror behind you and then it's forever yeah. and ever and ever.
Yeah. We wow. might just continually put ourselves in simulations as we discover like analog, you know, because we replace the eyeballs with then screens in there, and then we get to simulate the experience on the screen. So as soon as we get a screen that we can replicate something, we create a simulation that we put ourselves into.
Wow. I feel like my head's going to explode. That's insane. That's insane. So who's running this simulation?
That's a good question. Could it be those aliens that are on the outside? Could it be?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
So Bob the alien is coding the simulation saying, that no matter what, let's not have them discover anything. The endless pursuit of discovering other planets will keep us busy so they can keep harvesting our energy or whatever. I don't, what would they get from us? Like, could it be the Matrix where we're just a battery to them, or could it be something else?
Hmm. I don't know. That's a good point. So like, we're the actual batteries,
yeah,
and we're in a fake world. Pretty much.
You could be on a treadmill that as you're walking in the simulation, you're creating energy that powers the simulation that you're in. It's like training someone to take your job, kind of a thing.
So interesting. So interesting. And I understand part of it, but the more I learn, I think the more I'm confused. So let me bring up back my list here.
Well, you brought up the multiverse, but you didn't give me a chance to go.
Oh yeah, please. Sorry.
So multiverse is every potentiality that you've ever had, every decision that you made one way and not the other, mm-hmm, still kind of exists in a different universe where you are the guy that instead of doing X, you did Y. So that whole Y plane goes to fruition, but it still exists out there, and you can reconnect between the different multiverses. Now, because I don't necessarily think the outside world, time is a thing. It's not a linear thing.
Yeah.
If you remove time from the equation and all things,
time is more circular,
yeah,
right?
Right. Okay. So those things exist all at the same time when there is no time.
Interesting. Now, so time is the fourth dimension. Is that correct?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. So I have heard there's as many as 12 dimensions. Is that?
I've heard up to 10, but yeah, it's probably okay. The same.
So,
thing.
I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what a fifth dimension is, let alone 10.
All right, let me try to get you to the fifth dimension.
Okay.
All right, so okay, to put some thing. So basically, the first dimension is going to be a line, mm-hmm, right?
That's okay.
Gets you a line. And then if you combine multiple lines, then you can get a square.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you combine a bunch of squares, you can get
a cube. Yep.
Now, this so is
that's
the big
three
jump.
Dimension.
Now, you have combined a bunch of cubes to get something. Whatever a bunch of cubes would be parallel compartments that are running in parallel. So that's our first multiverse.
Okay.
And then if you get a bunch of whatever that thing is, then you have the fifth dimension. So that's where the mind starts broken a little bit. But point to line, line to square, square to cube, cube to
Oof. Okay. Go. All right. Anyone out there who knows more about this than me, which is just about everybody, write in. Let me know.
Where are we headed after my multiverse?
Well, no, I would, you know, I just have a ton of random ones on here. So let's see. I talked about the Jeffrey Epstein thing. What do you think about JFK? What do you think about him? Do you think it was really just the one shooter? Do you think it was two shooters? Do you think it was the government? What do you think about that?
Historically, I think when you get people who do change, that there are lots of interests that want to take them out. And mm-hmm, I think they're totally capable of doing it and getting away with it. So,
yeah,
and that exists right now. You brought up the Epstein things and mm-hmm, the Clinton things. And I still think that exists. And there's certain people that are untouchable that law enforcement will not do much about.
Now, JFK, from what I understand, was very like the federal monetary system.
Yes.
He's just very against that. And a lot of people were not big fans of that, of him. And one of those people who used to run the CIA at the time was George Bush Sr. And there's been a lot of talk that George Bush Sr. was the person that helped take Ooh. Out JFK. So very interesting there. One future president takes out a current president. So
when you watch our government like take life in other countries for a strategic end, they're capable of going to a strategic end, and mm-hmm, life isn't going to get in their way. So turn that internally, and same rules apply.
Okay. One of the most interesting things, and I'm just, believe me, we'll spend some more time on this on a future show, but I'm just jumping from thing to thing.
No, this is good.
So,
this is good stuff.
Okay, we all know what the Vatican is, right?
Yeah.
The Vatican, the home of the religion, the Catholic religion, in Vatican City, which is inside of Rome, which is inside of Italy. Now, apparently there's vaults well beneath the Vatican. And there's, you know, things that no one's ever seen, and they're sealed up. But this is something I have listened to different podcasts on. I've heard different people talk about this. There's something called a chronovisor. Have you ever heard of this? God. This is something I think you would really be interested in that you should look up. So a chronovisor, apparently, I don't know how it was created, how it was made, who made it, but apparently it could look into the future and into the past. And it made it sound like it was a pair of goggles that you could look at any point in history and watch history as it happened. And apparently the Vatican owns that and will not share it with the world. Or some people have speculated it was destroyed on, or like, you know, broke on purpose so it could never be used by, you know, the human race. So, because it would be to our detriment. So, you know, but they said they could look back and look at the crucifixion, that they could also look back at dinosaurs. They could look at the future and, you know, whatever events you want to go in time. So do you think?
I don't believe in linear time. So if, okay, so we're talking about like we invent technology and the technology slays us, right? So part of that is probably like a wormhole connecting to places without the division of time. But when you start delving there, chances are you're going to destroy humanity if you were to do that. Sure. So let's just say Stephen Hawking invents a way or discovers a way of traversing a wormhole, okay, and then gives you vision where the human body can't go to a wormhole because it'd be torn apart. Mm-hmm. But we create an electronics device that can travel the wormhole and give you vision into the future or the past using these wormholes, right? So the Vatican's like, we're just going to destroy ourselves. So they, to protect us, throw it in the vault. So there's the possibility, maybe.
Okay.
Do I think? Probably not.
But to me, that's one of those things that it just sounds, it sounds so scientific, maybe it, or science fiction, that maybe it, who knows? Maybe it could be
Evidence would be, if that really existed, are there any people that you think, you know, because you'd have a pretty big a superpower, Biff in Back to the Future, like,
oh, yeah,
play some bets or whatever. Like, who do you think, you know, in that era, like, what were you talking about era-wise that this came out? Was this modern times?
Or I want to say it was like in the World War II times, in that range, in the early 20th century.
Okay, so we got to look at a personality that would have had access to a technology, and anybody like make huge strides somewhere that is unexplainable by normal things, and then we'll know if it existed.
That's a good
point. I would say that if it was modern, then Elon Musk or Steve Jobs might have had something like that.
Right, know? Because it's something that if it could have been created back then without the means, then right now it could be easily replicated. But maybe you just have one of those once in a 1,000-year people that come around that, you know, has the mind for it. So I don't know. That's another one. Let's see. How about this one? How about, there's some ridiculous ones that I wrote down. Did you ever hear of the island called Diego Garcia?
No.
So it is it's a very, very small island the U.S. government owns. You can look it up. It's on the map and all that stuff. But you know the Malaysian Air Flight 370 that apparently went missing somewhere over the Indian Ocean?
Right.
A lot of people claim that it actually landed on that Diego Garcia, and for whatever reason, was never said to have been discovered. So that's an interesting one there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going to a deserted island would be amazing. I don't know that I'd try to get...
It's a military island.
That's interesting.
So I don't know if it was a government thing or whatever, so... Diego Garcia, if that's, you know, something you want to look up, check into that one. So, okay. So I like just giving like the cliff notes and like letting people make their own decision. How about this one? This is I think when we have, I'm going to feature Annabelle Himes again in the month of March, just for a little segment, but she has the Disney business with the princesses and all that stuff. So I'm going to ask her this question too, but have you heard this conspiracy theory where Disney created the movie Frozen? So the first thing you Google when it's Disney Frozen is the movie, and not that Walt Disney is Frozen.
Because they probably hate that. I'm sure. Hate it.
So
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because if you don't know, Walt Disney, cryogenically froze himself after his death, and he's frozen somewhere to say if there's, you know, ever a cure for whatever he had, that, you know, they can thaw him out, cure him, and he's fixed.
Let it go.
well done there. You know, I have a ton more that I would like to get into more, but we're going to we'll save some of those. So do you have any more you want to share? before we...
No, that was, you know, the aliens are probably the funnest one. And the space travel and the time travel, those are always in my wheelhouse. Like the ones about, do you think Sasquatch is a real deal?
Now, I have heard people say Sasquatch is actually an alien in a different dimension. And then, but now people are going to clip that and say, look at this whack job.
they were already saying that.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. They already know. No, I don't think Sasquatch is a real thing. I think it's probably a bear that was standing up or somebody doctored footage or something like that. That's just my opinion. So
I think
that it's more fun if you believe it to be true.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that there's so, we think that we've like discovered everything on this planet. I don't think we've been on every square foot of this planet. So could it be that we're discovering new things in the ocean all the time.
Right.
So what are the chances that a remote place that nobody's been to or hard to get to, that there's a creature that survives, you know, away from where humanity, I don't know, pretty good deal.
Now, do you think though, with all the technology we have, like you could take a drone pretty much anywhere though, and you could put, what is that? The thermo heat on it. So it could pick up like a warm body in a cold area, or, you know, if it's a very remote area.
I just think there's way more space than we give credit.
I agree.
We're used to driving around in cars, but if you ever like watch somebody do like an ocean, like, you know, a boat goes in and they're doing a scan and a million miles worth of stuff that boats have to traverse to search for them in a search area isn't very much space.
Right.
Right. And it takes them forever.
That's true.
To go over with a fine tooth comb. So you couple that with probably a species that aren't a whole lot that are able to move around. And then you just probably statistically haven't been in enough spaces to see it on infrared.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And the Earth is what? 3/4 water, roughly. And I tend to, you know, I know this is a lake, but the Loch Ness Monster as a kid always, like, you know, I'd get a book and read about it and stuff. Now, I think that has been, you know, proven to be false based on like the photographic evidence.
See there,
but like you said, though, there's so much undiscovered. I think something like 5% of the ocean has been discovered. 5%.
Yeah.
If you think about that, is insane. So there's all this other stuff out there, like you were just talking about, whether it's in mountainous regions, whether it's underground, whether it's in the water. I think there's a lot more out there than we know. And some of it could be good, but some of it could be scary as hell. So,
so there's a website that basically plots every airplane that's in the sky at any given time. Right. And when you look up at the sky, you think you probably have a good view of a lot of miles of what's available over the United States. But when you look at that map and see how many in-flight airplanes they are at any given time, right. And maybe there's 10,000 of them that are getting every time. You would expect that when you look up, you're going to see like 100 planes after you look at this map. But it's so much more vast than what you get when you look at something like that. It's something similar. Elon Musk was asked, was getting a lot of flack because he has plans of putting like 10,000 satellites in low Earth orbit.
Okay.
And you think like you're not going to be able to look at the sky and not see 100 of these stupid satellites in your view. And it's really not the case. I'm watching these. I think they got 2,000 at any given time. If you take a guess, if you took one of those satellites at any given time, how many are in a state, like an overhead view of the state at any given time?
One of 10,000?
Yeah. So, there's 2,000.
Or 2,000. One of 2,000.
Right now. And they're spread pretty equally around the planet. So how many satellites are in any state at any given time?
Well, now that you said that, I'm going to probably guess lower than what I would have expected. I'm going to say 4.
You think there are 4 in it?
I'm
going to
say 4.
It's the opposite, where there's one satellite for every like 6 states.
Wow.
So with 2,000 scale wise, there's only one every 6 states. So think of the vastness.
Yeah.
Multiply that by 2,000, and that's a lot of surface area that's undone yet.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of our theories or, you know, things that interest us are dealt with technology, which makes a lot of sense. And maybe technology in the future will help us discover some of this stuff that, you know, to prove it to be true, to prove it to be false, or maybe to prove it to be something we never even thought of. So, there's a lot of different ways this could go.
But it's all simulation, dude. So it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter. Somebody's playing us in a computer game right now and be like, these assholes are trying to figure us out. Hit reset. So yeah. It's insane. And honestly, when I think about it, it's like, you know, when you start learning, whatever field you're studying in, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
No, exactly.
And I feel like that's when when you start talking multiverse and when you start talking, you know, dimensions and all that stuff, like I actually feel dumber. Like it's like that Cav statement I went to earlier. We're all now dumber for having listened to it, except we're smarter. We just realized we didn't know as much earlier. So, all right. I thought that was fun. We'll dive into that, you know, maybe like particular ones in the future going forward. So for Joe, I'm Justin. We will have a big Super Bowl show on Thursday. So we will talk to you guys then.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.